Beautiful. Brother Joe, I'm going to ask a blessing. Would you take us to the throne of grace and ask a blessing on our discourse?
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you very much for the provisions that I was made here, and we ask that blessing to continue with us here at this convention. Dear Father, we thank you especially for the gift of thy dear Son, and we ask now that we have an open mind and open heart, and that we receive more of thy Holy Spirit, and be with our brother Larry as he takes us to the land where thy dear Son had walked and lived and made it possible that we might come unto thee at this time. Be with those of like precious faith throughout the world, hasten like dear Son's kingdom soon to come. And dear Lord, we thank thee especially for thy forgiveness, where we do fall short daily. Now we place ourselves in thy care and keeping, ever grateful unto thee. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Brethren, our brother Larry chose to give the discourse a name, an Israel experience. And you know, from the testimonies that you've heard, we know that there are so many of the brethren that had a chance to go over, and they're bubbling over. They don't know how to contain themselves. I see that, because there's so much excitement in such a privilege. So we thought now to be part of that, and we're glad that we can share in it to some extent. And Brother Larry is willing and able to bring us some of the highlights that they so enjoyed. So Brother Larry, without further say, please, Lord bless you.
Thank you, Brother Byrne. Well, we've got well over 200 slides to show you in about 35 minutes, so we're going to be going through these rather rapidly, as you can tell. And I know a lot of the brethren who are sitting out there that went on the Israeli trip are going to be saying, but wait, Larry, tell them about this one, and tell them about that, and you know, or explain a little bit more about who this person was or that person was, and I don't think we're going to have time. We're just going to basically whet your appetite to this marvelous land, this land of promise. And Colonel Levi, that we're going to be showing you of the Jerusalem Post, said, anybody who really believes in the Bible is a Zionist, because God gave the land of Israel to Abraham and his progeny. And it's their land. And this is the only people of the whole world that God ever gave a land and said, this is your land. And they're staking claims. We're seeing Ezekiel 37 rise from the grave, the Israel as a nation, and you're about to go on a little journey with us, and we'll do the best we can. Some of the names we're going to mispronounce, and some of them we might not even get right, but bear with me, those of you who are on the trip, because I don't have any notes up here, and this old brain of mine doesn't work very well, so I'll do the best I can. Could we get the lights? And Brother George, we want to first of all thank Brother Tim Armstrong, who was gracious enough to let us use his slides. We only took slides ourselves from Jerusalem, so we're going to give you the first section here, thanks to Brother Tim Armstrong, who's an excellent photographer. And you're going to notice a big difference when you get to my slides, but bear with me. This is our plane that we took, and we're getting off in Tel Aviv, at the Ben Gurion Airport, and this is the LL Airlines, and it was just the biggest thing I ever flew on. It was just quite exciting. And then we got into some buses and took off from there to Haifa, and we may have a picture a little later on here of that city where we stayed, but we traveled up to an area called Caesarea. And I think I got that right. And Caesarea is a place where I believe the great Herod had built. He loved to build, this man. And he had built a theater that we're going to be showing here in a little bit. This is an aqueduct that the Romans built, as you can see from the Roman arches. And we had a really nice stay there. Not too long. I mean, for one, we were moving pretty fast. So a stay for us was like, 20 minutes is a long stay. This is just a shot through one of the arches of the Brethren assembled down on the beach there in Caesarea. Caesarea, if I remember right, was where Philip and his four daughters had lived. This was built, this was the theater that we had gone into, and we'll show you another picture of this here shortly. This is Moshe, one of the guides, explaining to us what we're about to look at. There's another one. This is inside this theater. Now, this theater was built in such a way that the cool breeze from the ocean would come in and keep people cool on a warm day. And we sang a song here. Some of you can still hear it echoing in your minds and hearts. We sang to the brethren up the top there, and they sang back to us. And very precious memories. The same place where perhaps our brothers and sisters of 2,000 years earlier could have been torn apart by some lions or some other beasts. This is a look from Mount Carmel, the way we say it, Mount Carmel. I think this is looking towards the south. And here's a statue that they built. As you can see from the inscription on the bottom, it represented Elijah. And of course, we know the story there. And it was quite a feeling to be up there where this showdown of Elijah and God against the 400 prophets of Baal, it was a very moving experience just to be there. And here's some of the brethren standing out in one of the structures there with a compass type arrangement on the floor showing how far things were located and situated. But just you can see how high up we are. We're high up in more ways than one on a spiritual mountaintop. And then there was a service after that on the same mountain. And Brother Brad Bach there is reading some scriptures. We would do this quite frequently and take time for meditation and readings and prayer. And it was a very spiritually uplifting booster shot, I'm sure, to all of us. Now, this is Haifa, where we stayed. And you can see the bay there and some of the ships. A beautiful, beautiful city. It's just unbelievable what Israel has done in less than 50 years in building up what was a wasteland before. And it's incredible, just the amount of construction. You can see this here. This says Megiddo. And some of you are familiar with the site. Megiddo is one of the most ancient cities in the land, first settled some 6,000 years ago. Commanding a strategic highway from Egypt to the north, it was a natural scene of numerous battles throughout history, from its conquest and so on. And we traversed the area of this Megiddo and saw the ruins that were left. We could see the vantage point there. And, of course, the Bible talks about Armageddon, right? Armageddon, and I believe comes from the mountain range. I'm not sure, but it was a very strategic point at which you could see a lot of a very strategic point where a lot of battles took place down below the foothill, and of course they were trying to get up there to the fortress. We went down later on to one of the passageways of water where they had to get their water from down below, and they had that protected in such a way that the enemy wasn't able to really see their water reserves, from what I recall. This is called the Disco Rabbi, right, Brother Ken? The Disco Rabbi. This is Rabbi Grossman, who has done a tremendous humanitarian work there with his people, taking and helping criminals be rehabilitated. There's some phenomenal facts there with what he's been able to do. It really, to me, impressed me as being a picture of kingdom work. The love and gentleness and goodness of this man has been communicated to many others. And you can see there the brethren listening intently. He was quite an interesting individual. This is a large synagogue we're in. And he received us very with open arms. And I think he saw our response, too, in such a way that I believe they're going to be using the program Israel Appointment with Destiny in their educational program. This is the city of Acre, or Acco, as some remember it. And these walls are where Napoleon tried to conquest into land and couldn't really penetrate. It was really defeating. It was really the point at which he started his downfall. But we walked along those walls, and in the city streets there, some people did some shopping. Not a real rich area, more of a depressed area from what I recall. This is just looking out from the wall, out to where Napoleon might have had with the ships trying to get into this area. This is the River Jordan, as it flows into the Sea of Galilee. It's a beautiful river. This is an excavation in Bethsaida, where there was a synagogue and a community of people that lived there. Lord Master, from what I remember, taught many lessons in the area, and perhaps in that very edifice. We were digging down, some of us were digging in various locations, some right in a place where there would be a synagogue, and digging up artifacts from 2,000 years ago. It was quite an exciting experience for us. We went up to Metula, as you can see, the one of the most, if not the northernmost city in Israel, and talked to Mayor Goldberg there, who is quite a humanitarian. He's helped 20,000 of the South Lebanese Christians who were being killed by the Hezbollah. He took them in and befriended them, gave them comfort and care, even when they were their supposed enemies. And as we go along here, I guess we got this out of place. This is one of the Bethsaida excavations. You can tell I put this in kind of a hurry here, so I apologize, but under the conditions, we did the best we could. This just shows you some of the landscape. I'm not sure where this is at. I think it's around the Galilee area. But they planted groves of orange trees and all kinds of fruit all over this valley area. And they're a big producer-exporter of fruits to Europe now. This is a Metula sign. This is the Good Fence that goes between Lebanon and Israel. And it's a fence that they can come across from Lebanon and have hospital services and have all kinds of provisions. They can have jobs there, they can use the airport, and then go right back to Lebanon. And Israel is very gracious. And everywhere we went in Israel, people wanted to have peace. This is Brother Ken giving the Israel appointment with destiny to Mayor Goldberg of Metula. It's quite a story there, one which we had wish we had more time. Here's him talking to the group. This is looking over from Metula, over some of the community. This is a settlement that's really necessary for to secure the borders of Israel. And now we're in Capernaum, the town of Jesus. Sister Rita LeClaire there at the door. This is one of the synagogues from the 4th century. And I think that picture would probably look a little better if we put some brethren in it, so let's do that. There they are. It's easy when you have this. you see a big smiling group there. They have a lot to smile about. This is, again, the Jordan as it flows towards the Sea of Galilee. I would like to spend some more time there in Capernaum. We also saw Peter's apparent home there. Of course, the Catholics have built a big edifice over it, so it detracts from some of the aesthetics of it. But there was a lot of ancient artifacts where the brethren were assembled in that synagogue and that whole area of Capernaum. Remember, that's where Peter and Andrew had lived. And so here we are on the banks of the Jordan River, with Brother Bob speaking to us. And that was quite a moving experience for all of us. Some put their feet in the water and waded a little bit. And Brother Jim Watson gave a beautiful presentation there by the water. And it just was very moving and very thrilling for all of us. And there's people around here that were listening to the presentation, which made it even more thrilling. This is a lookout over the Sea of Galilee. It perhaps is more of a lake to some of you who are from the Great Lakes area. It's not even that big, considering Superior or Michigan or Huron. But to them, you know, it's the Sea of Galilee. Beautiful sea. This is Tiberias, where the brethren that Brother Ken mentioned earlier, the Washlers. Yeah, I couldn't pick up that name, but that's where they live. And we had a meal here, and had a nice boat ride on the Sea of Galilee. Here's some of the participants. In fact, all the participants in the boat ride. Very refreshing, and we had a couple of services there on the boat as we traveled along the Sea of Galilee. This is the kibbutzim Naf Genesar, I believe, that we stayed. Very beautiful area. The Israelis have done a fantastic job with building up the land and reinstating vegetation and everything. This is, I guess, more the community along there. Beautiful trees of all different types. This is, apparently this is En Gedi, is that right? En Gedi. This is En Gedi where David went up with his troop when Saul was chasing him, and he went up there to a large cave. And there was there's a water source there, and it's rather recluse in the mountains. This is down, going on down towards the Dead Sea area. And Saul ended up right behind him, and he didn't even realize David was in the vicinity, but that's where it took place. Qumran. As it says, the first settlement on the site was in the 8th century B.C. at the time of the Kingdom of Judea. And members of the Dead Sea Scrolls sect settled here during the reign of, John Hyrcanus, at the end of the 2nd century. And here's where the Dead Sea Scrolls were found. Really interesting. There's a real interesting story behind that. This is more of the excavations that have taken place in that area. They had a lot of water cleansings in that area. The Essenes, I believe. This is the Banyas. Is that right? The Banyas. And a lot of old artifacts and some buildings there. We went back further on to this beautiful fall. It's too bad you can't see the top part of it. But it's just a beautiful... Thanks, Brother George. A beautiful, he takes hints real easy, doesn't he? Beautiful waterfalls. If you can imagine the brethren all around that area, we had Brother Alan Springer up in a tree with a few other brethren. Brother David Nemitzky was down in the water waiting with Brother, not waiting, he was actually in it with Brother Brad Bach and a lot of others. Just very precious memories there. Beautiful stream. Excuse me. This is Masada. See that black line up there on the top? The black line, let's see, right up here? This is the original. This is the way they found it before they started excavating. And everything, you know, everything below this, rather, was the original. Everything above it was what they added to it, the way they felt it would have looked like. And I wonder if somebody would have some water, if they'd be kind enough to bring me some. It was really quite an experience being up there where 960 people had died, and there was only seven that were left, if I remember right, two elderly women and five children that hid themselves from the Romans who tried for months to come up into this area. Brother Ron there, as you can see, Ron Chastain, is reading something from the scriptures. We have a little service. Shows you a little bit of the terrain in the background. This is where those big cisterns were made, those 40,000-gallon cisterns that I mentioned the other day. You can see how high up we are. See this down here? This is a Roman, where the Romans camped down below when they were in besiege in this Masada. And there's one of these on every side of this mountain area. Some larger, some smaller. Another lookout. Yeah. I'm not sure you can see the trolley there. Not the trolley, the tram, rather. Goes up and down. Here's the tram. Some of the brethren, can you see them right here? They decided, this is called Snake Path, they decided to go all the way down from up here, all the way down, 1,200 feet. And boy, you really felt it in your legs the next day. Thank you very much. This I'm not sure, but I think this is looking over the range of Mount Hermon, where the source of the Jordan is. It's beautiful photography. And this is one of the settlements in the Golan Heights. Now I think we're looking... you got me. I'm
from Mount Scopus toward the Holy City.
Ah, okay. Okay, thank you. Is that the Dome of the Rock there?
Yes.
Okay, so we're looking overlooking Jerusalem. I thought we had some other slides in there, but this is our ceremony that we had as we entered into the Jerusalem phase of our trip. And I don't know who that brother is reading the scriptures there, but probably needed to speak up louder. This is just a little evening view of the city. Here's the Dome of the Rock, where where we have the picture there of Abraham and Isaac. And we actually went into that, and it was it cost like $7.50 to get in. But it was well worth it. It gave you a real feeling for what transpired there and what the whole picture was of Abraham and Isaac. Right now, as you can tell, Brother George is going to be changing some slides over. How are we doing on time? Another 15 minutes. They won't let you take any pictures in the Dome of the Rock. You have to take your shoes off as you go in, since it's a Muslim sacred ground. So we just have to describe it to you the best we could. Some of us might be able to draw you a little picture of the sketch of that rock that's in there, but it'd be kind of tough. This is the Ramada Renaissance, where we stayed for about 7 days, and beautiful accommodations, much more than what we deserved. It was just very gracious of them to let us have such nice facilities, and through the Lord's agency and working through Brother Ken and the one who owns this, we were very well accommodated there during that time. Here's some of the sweet individuals that were with us. Get a little closer look here. You can tell now the difference in the slides, who's taking them now. Like, I had one of those $39.95 specials I was taking this with. I won't take time to name them all, but perhaps you recognize most all of them. Some of them right here with us, of course. Of course, you don't recognize those two. That turned out pretty good, Brother Ken. Of course, it was hard, wasn't it, Sister Virginia, to get him to stand still that long to get a picture, right? Yeah. That's the what people call the Wailing Wall, the Western Wall behind Obi and Janet. And again, the Western Wall right here, and of course the Dome of the Rock, a mosque, as they have many in Jerusalem. We're going to go down through a door here and go down below where this Western Wall is. It goes this way, and we're going to go down below this, just to give you an idea where we're at. See some things that, this is actually part of the Western Wall, but it's an area that most people don't get to go to. It's perhaps more of a dangerous area. It's in this area. Was this the, this is the Jerusalem quarter. We have supposed quarters here in Jerusalem, and although Jerusalem's quarter is probably more like in an eighth compared to everybody else's, but this Western Wall is an extension of what we've just seen, but not where many people come to pray, although some of the brethren did. This is going down underneath the wall that we spoke of, the Western Wall. And we're about 25 or 6 feet below the ground here. There's all kinds of excavations going on, even a city below this. Here's Brother Rick Cunningham and Sister Ruth standing next to a pillar, as you can see. That's, you know, we're, like I say, 26 feet below the surface, and standing on a street that might be the very street that Jesus walked on at that time. It was very interesting. This is a model of the second temple that Herod built, and it probably has some of the first temple there too, I think is what we've seen. But it's nice to see this first before you go and see the real thing, because you get a better idea of where things might have been. And it gives you a good understanding, a perception of what the city would have looked like perhaps back then. Some of it is very accurate and some of it perhaps is supposed. This is the eastern wall, I believe. And these are the steps where... Southern wall? Thank you. This is the southern wall. And these very steps we feel like Jesus would have been teaching lessons on, to his disciples. And these steps are in such a way, I believe these are the steps where they make it so there's one long step and one short step and one long step and one short step, so that people would go up more reverently to the temple area. Here's one of the guides they had for us that were explaining a little bit about. You can see a lot of columns that are down. There's a lot of excavations going on. Way up here is, I believe, the Mount of Olives. And you can see, we'll see another one of this later on, of the all the grave sites that are up there. This shows you a little bit as far as the size of some of the blocks. And even then, it doesn't really give you a good figure of that, a feel for that. You have a lot of blocks that are, I don't know if you can see right here. If your vision's real good, you can see there's kind of a trim around this block. This is a Herodian block. They all had these trims around it, so you can tell, you know, what era of time it's in. This is some of the excavations that are going along in the in this area. And this was all filled with trash and piled up high so that the Arabs, when they were there before the 67 campaign, they didn't, you know, it was almost protected in a way by the trash and debris that all the Palestinians had put there. And then they, after the 67 campaign, they, you know, they got in there and they started digging, and they found a testimony in rock of what was there before. This is the cave at Machpelah. I'm probably not saying that right, but this is where Abraham is laid to rest. And not only Abraham, but Sarah and Isaac and Jacob and Leah and Rachel are all supposedly underneath this this area. We went up these steps through here, and inside we weren't able to go down into the cave. That's not accessible, although some people have been down in there. I think Brother August Tornquist, if I'm not mistaken, has been down there. If you want to ask him, maybe he could tell you more about it. But this is in Hebron. And this shows you what it's like across the street. And they caught these two kids. No. No, they just got done. They just got done posing with Janet Obie's son and daughter. And I was just catching the tail end of that. But you can see across the way there, there's a big difference when you see the Palestinian, the Arab Muslim areas compared or contrasted to the Israeli area. And shows how the Israelis have really made a difference in the land and brought up the standard of living. This is in Hebron, as I said, and this is the way it is in a lot of places, and people just don't really appreciate what the Israelis have done to bring up the standard of living in Israel. This is one of the excavations along the wall. Can't explain too much about it, except it does give some authenticity to some scriptural testimony. Does somebody... This is in the city of David? Okay. There's just a lot of things that are going on here. They see the numbers. They've got about seven of these numbers that, and they're reconstructing, as you can see, a testimony of what took place. Some of it goes back, you know, to the burning of Jerusalem, and they have actual ash and things that indicate that Jerusalem was burned in 70 A.D., This is one of the synagogues that had been desecrated before 1967. The Arabs that were so inclined had no feel for respect for people's temples, and they desecrated 60 of these, from what I remember. There was only two left by the time the Israelis stormed in 67, and it just shows you, you know, what they did. They took their precious tablets and papers and documents, destroyed them. The tablets they laid down on the pavement, and they use those for walkways, and it's just horrible. And yet the Israelis, they let them have and worship as they please, and give them a lot of latitude. In fact, in some ways, the Israelis are more Christian sometimes I think we are in the way they share and give and the liberty they give to most everybody. Here's one of the guys who was telling us about, this is another synagogue that was destroyed, and they're trying to reconstruct it. It's just a shame what happened. This, I think, is mentioned in John, the fifth chapter. I think this is the pool. Does anybody remember? The pool of Bethsaida. And where a healing took place by Jesus. Was it the leper?
Bethesda.
And one of Jesus' miracles took place here. And right across from here, we were in a synagogue that had a big open room, and it was all stone. There was no furnishings in it that I could recall. And we sang a hymn there, and it was so beautiful. Some of them have it on tape. And it just echoed through the whole synagogue. It was a large synagogue. This is the book, The Rock of the Shrine. Is that what they
Shrine of the Book.
Shrine of the Book. There we go. I had the words, had it mixed up. Shrine of the Book, where the Dead Sea Scrolls are kept. And another artifacts. We couldn't take cameras in there, but it was an interesting experience to see what was there. Can you guess what this is? This is the Garden of Gethsemane. And again, my little 3995 camera didn't do this justice, but one of the Franciscan monks apparently are in there working. This gives you a little better picture of the outside around it. We sang what else, you know, in the garden. As we strolled around this together with Frank Boychuk there and my wife. This shows you, this is probably, I mean, this is all one tree, right? It's probably 2,000 or 3,000 years old. And no doubt, perhaps one of the very ones that were there when Jesus was in Gethsemane with his apostles. This was where Jesus was put on trial, apparently. And the pronouncement was made. Pontius Pilate, and that as far as, you know, him taking the cross and dying as a malefactor, a blasphemer. And he probably walked or dragged the cross down the street like this. This is Brother Laddie, as you can see here, a Stuart, and my wife, Sister Debbie. This is Golgotha, the place of the skull. You can see the eye socket, so to speak, here. And some of us believe that the crucifixion was actually took place up here. This is, there's a lot of Muslim tombs, I don't know what they call them, that are up there. But some believe that it was down here. Now, down here where I'm going to show you, the Arabs built a bus station. Talk about aesthetics. Here's, see the skull right there? So right down here is where some believe that Jesus died on the cross, was crucified on the cross, and because of certain scriptural evidence that some have put together, they feel it was in a way that was more trafficked by the residents traveling from different places, although some still hold that it was up on top of this hill. But still, it reminds me of how the adversary has tried to cover up the truth of what really happened there. And here, if this is the actual area down here, literally it's been covered up by asphalt. And maybe it'll be dug up someday, we'll see. This is going down to the garden tomb down here, where we believe our Lord's tomb was, in fact. It's getting dusk, and so it's hard to get a good shot. But walking in here is what we're going to see. And this was probably the most memorable part of the experience for me, being able to go in to our Lord's tomb. Here's Brother George and Sister Ruth Wilmot. You can see in the door there, he is not here, for he has risen. This is all hewn stone, and makes me, just a little lesson here, makes me think it's probably about a 12 by 12 foot area, but it makes me think how gradually our tomb is hewn out throughout the course of our consecration. And finally, when our hewing of stone is done and the chiseling that takes place on our characters in the process, we'll be able to be laid in rest, so to speak, the way our Master was, buried with him in the likeness of his death, raised in the likeness of his resurrection. This is what it looks like on the other side. My mother is vying there in prayer, and they have a bar fence there, as you can see. And this is the area where no doubt our Lord was laid. It was even chiseled out a little bit longer, apparently, I think somebody said, because Jesus was a little taller than Joseph of Arimathea. There's another one of these on the other side over here, and there's something here too, because this is where, you know, they would bury a whole family. And of course, it was never, nobody was ever laid in this. This was a new sepulcher. Here's our dear brother August, having the privilege of speaking to the brethren about what transpired in this area, and with our Lord's death and resurrection, a very moving service that he gave with tears. And after that, our dear brother Ken joined him, also with tears, and some of the experience and what he was feeling at the time, being in this special place. I don't think there was any greater feeling for me next to being the one to immerse my own father in Chicago years ago than kneeling in the tomb of our Lord in prayer. Just something I'll never forget. This is at Bad Shittim. Am I saying that right? Bad Shittim. And it gives you a little feel for the crying out of what took place there, the horrible atrocities that were done to the Jewish people. The fact of the matter is, if I remember right, when they found out about these death camps, Dachau and Auschwitz, if I'm saying that right, it was 18 months, a year and a half, before the Christian nations did anything at all to stop that. They could have bombed the railways and whatever. But, you know, I'm sure if they would have felt their own relatives and loved ones there, it wouldn't have taken them 18 months to get to the situation and try to rectify it. But I don't know the whole situation. This is Alan, what was his name? Friedman, who was a tour director there and has been quite inspired by the group. And so much so that he's giving presentations of Israel Appointment with Destiny himself. Quite active in helping us along our journey, opening doors up so that we could get to certain places. This is the Columbus group there. We just sat down for a little rest. Columbus and Hope. These are trees of, I think they said trees of righteousness. And each one of these are planted for those who helped the Jews during the Holocaust. This is where we had the service that was spoken about. See how dark it is in there? There's the flame that's inside of there. This is at Soshu, I believe, one of the synagogues at Soshu. We saw a lot of ancient artifacts, a lot of old stone buildings. And this is down below. They used to live in caves or go down in caves because it was so cool down there. And it was a fascinating place. Back on the buses again. This is one of the settlements that we had. I guess we only have...
Yeah, we're at the time's up.
Time's up? Oh, boy. I'm going to go through this kind of quick. This is another settlement. This is a place that we had some time to share and get to know some of the people that were there. I want to get to the Jerusalem part. This is one of the showings that we had, one of the small showings at the settlements. This is one of the yeshiva showings. You can hardly see it. The girls over there. This is Ben Yehuda Mall, where 450 videotapes were given out in a matter of, 15 minutes? And here's one of Brother Bob talking to some of the young people there with a lot of questions that they had. This is the showing in Jerusalem the brethren were talking about, La Rome and La Rome Hotel. This is gives you a little feel for what we, when we walked down and saw standing room only, you see over there Israel Appointed with Destiny. We walked in and you can't hardly see because of the lighting in it, but I mean all the way across there's people packed from all sides. I think that's Brother Ken up there. It was quite a thrilling evening, to say the least, to see all the response that we got from Jerusalem, especially after the scenario that you read and we were told about earlier of what transpired before that, but how the Lord overruled, in spite of that, to bring a message of comfort to Israel. This is Colonel Levy, the Jerusalem Post editor. He said we're the only Christian group that he could really agree with. And this is... Professor Branover, one of the world's renowned scientists, head of the Shamir organization. We try to give videotapes to all these people along the way. This was a protest against Rabin group there, traveling down through some of the streets of Old Jerusalem. That was the Minister of Tourism. This is Young Israel. We spoke to a lot of rabbis. These are all Third Temple artifacts. Well, not artifacts, but Third Temple, I don't know what you call them, instruments and everything else that will go into the Third Temple someday, they believe. Kohani, Rabbi Kohani. Rabbi Kohani being given a Israel Appointment with Destiny tape. Again, is that Branover?
Porsche.
This is Porsche. Okay. I just don't have time to talk about all of them. One of the renowned scientists there at the Institute of SATEC. This is another excavation to Brother August there. This was in Shiloh, where Joshua came. And we could go on and on. I'm going to have to go through this fast. This was a tunnel of Hezekiah's tunnel we went down. This is the Knesset building where we went in and had four or five Knesset members come and speak to us. This was earlier a minister to Rabin, assistant minister to Rabin, who came and spoke to us. Not at the Knesset. This was actually at the hotel where we were at. And again, being given Israel Appointment with Destiny. These are some of the local Ethiopian Aliyah who came from Ethiopia. Some of the local girls having jump rope. City David. Again, Mount of Olives, Garden of Gethsemane. There's just a lot here. Just not enough time to get into it all. One of the service people posed for us. Muslim Quarter. Gives you a feel for what you're going to see if you go over there. This area you don't want to be caught at night, though. Bill Gowerlick. Brother John Ultraway. I can't recognize that sister. It's my mom. Falafels, right? Is that the way you say that? We got used to eating falafels. Well, that's about it. I think Brother Larry was singing a rendition of I Only Have Eyes for You there. I'm not sure. This was our farewell dinner, actually. I think I'm going to have to. Boy, it's hard to stop. So this was one of the local residents that posed for us with Sister Connie. And then back home. Don't they look just full of energy? And they still mustered up a smile, bless their hearts. And then back home. Well, we pray that's given you just a little taste for what we had experienced. We certainly thank the Lord for all his gracious blessings towards us and being able to go. And it'll be a rich, rich Ebenezer in our hearts for many years to come to have shared this total experience in Israel. And we appreciated all your prayers for us along the way and continue to pray for the efforts that the residual blessings and benefits that will come as a result of being there. For there's a lot of institutions now that are starting to incorporate the program of Israel, Appointment with Destiny. And the trickles have turned into ripples and they're starting to turn into waves. And all that we've done through the help of those who were so instrumental was plant seeds, and it's up to the Lord to water. So we praise him for that and look for his guidance in so doing. Thank you for your kind attention.
Thank you, Brother Larry. Can we have some lights, please? Well, we certainly appreciate it. You know, slides are not the real thing, but for those that couldn't be there, we shared in your joys. That was unedited, right? This slideshow. You see how much time is necessary if you wanted to explain everything. It takes a lot of time, but we've enjoyed it. We were thrilled with you. I think the beauty about this is the cross-cut of brethren that